Good afternoon and welcome to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. The show's objective is to encourage, support and help people improve both their working and personal lives through continuous learning. I'm Laura Fitzsimons and I'm a training and presenting coach. My guest today, I'm absolutely delighted to have on the show, is a very experienced person in this whole area of media, and I'd like to welcome Aileen O'Mara of Aileen O'Mara Media. Thank you very much, Aileen, for coming along, or for calling in this afternoon, I should say.
You're very welcome, Laura.
Thank you. I know you're a very busy lady and I appreciate you taking the time out to do this interview. Aileen has over two decades experience, including a 13-year stint in RTE Radio and TV News, hence why I said she's a complete pro, and is a print journalist with the Sunday Tribune and the Sunday Business Post. She left RTE in 2005 and you set up then on your own?
That's correct. Yes,
okay.
I did. Yeah.
And what made you go into that area, setting up on your own? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the business itself.
Sure, yes. I mean, as you say, I was in RTE 13 years and was in print before that. And I think part of the push factor was that I had very young children and I was the health correspondent in RTE at the time. And I just found you couldn't, you know, make the day connect properly, basically. You know, it just was too busy. And I had, you know, achieved a huge amount and I felt that, you know, time to go out on my own, really. You know, 2005, as you say, the economy was still, you know,
yeah, a lot
booming
better
along
at
a great rate, getting boom and boomier, as Bertie says. And, you know, it was a good opportunity. And I've always wanted, in the back of my head, I think some people are like that. They just want to work for themselves, be their own boss. So it gives you that flexible life. And, you know, I knew there was lots of work out there. So I set up on my own at that point.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell me, you passed me on a number of great notes then as well, just to ask you some great questions. Women in journalism, is there still a glass ceiling?
Yes, I think there is still a glass ceiling. I mean, and the glass ceiling is created by two things, I think. When people say glass ceiling, it means you can get so high and you can't get any higher, or you can get so, you know, move certain distance in an organisation, say like RTE, or even a newspaper, it's not just RTE, and then you don't really get any further. Because if you look in RTE, for example, there are very few senior women managers even at this point.
I mean, yeah,
Claire
yeah.
Dignan was head of radio. She has left. She took the package and left. And now there's a man in charge of radio. And she, you know, so Claire had been very senior and she's gone. You know, Mary Curtis has left. She went to UTV. And, you know, you ask yourself, when you look at the news and when you look at a lot of the, you know, in the back offices of RTE and radio particularly, you see a huge number of women working, you know, producing programmes and being administrators. But why aren't they more senior? And one of the big reasons it hasn't gone away, you know, is childcare, I think. You know,
yeah.
Women make a decision at certain points. Children are very young. I mean, I was one of them too.
Yeah.
Who say, you know, the kids are only young once. And, you know, so you say, why did you take that decision, not your husband? I mean, and I mean, as a feminist, I would say there's no difference in men and women. But actually, when it comes to children, I do think there is at homemaking and that there's something different in our genes. And, you know, but then you say, well, some women obviously do get top, but most, I do think, make that decision. They say, well, if I have to choose between raising my children and keeping a, you know, a lower level job, I'm going to take the lower level job. And sometimes the quality of life is much better. So you then have to say, well, you know, what are you going to do about that? And I think really it is about employers encouraging those women who then have moved part-time or left to come back into the workforce and consider management when the children then are older, when they have more time and when they have more energy maybe to concentrate on management. And so I think that's certainly something that even at government level we should be looking at as well in terms of glass ceiling, not just in media but in a lot of organisations.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is still, I think, in some ways, a bias against people who are a little bit older, say in their 40s and upwards. And the media business, as you know as well, is changing so rapidly that I think a lot of people lose their self-confidence. They think, oh, I don't know what's going on. I haven't kept up to speed with things, the digital media in particular. Whereas, in fact, it's actually not that difficult to train yourself up quite quickly and
to get the skill set.
It's a frame of mind, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say about that, because I know a lot of people like that who would be just getting back into the workplace now and would have had management positions, took time out to mind their children, and then now don't feel confident enough to go back into that level because I don't have the experience the last couple of years. I don't have the skill set to manage people. It's not fine-tuned enough. It's not up to date. And it's certainly
women are their own worst critics.
Yeah,
they really are.
We can be. Because I can relate to that as well. And I can relate to that. It's exactly why I went out my own 10 years ago. Mm.
purely because I had three young children at the time. And the very same, I hardly ever saw them. I was in a management position and extremely busy and great, definitely climbing the corporate ladder, but never rarely saw my children. So it was, I
but
can understand
worth it. They don't wait for you. You know, they can't. They do insist on growing up. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay, so tell me about what you're doing. What Aileen O'Mara Media is. What kind of services do you provide?
Yeah, if you look at my website, you'll see radio, TV training. Essentially, three areas of my work. And radio, I make radio programs. That's firstly. I'm an independent radio producer, which is a small but growing sector of the economy, basically in radio, which is set up on the back of two things. One was the BAI, the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, have a Sound and Vision Fund,
okay,
and you know, Dublin City FM itself uses a lot. Yeah, I've had documentaries that have gone out in Dublin City FM, once-off documentaries and series. And then we just finished making a very big series for RTE called Arts Tonight, which had been in-house and was being presented by Vincent Woods. It then, RTE now are required under the Broadcasting Act to actually outsource some of their radio and television, and certainly their radio. They could do better, but that was a very big contract to get. We were delighted. And then we were a bit disappointed then when they took it back in-house last July. So at the moment we're pitching for a few more. So we make radio programs, we make radio series. Then we do podcasts as well.
Yeah.
So if businesses need podcasts, we'll do them for them. And we just actually set up a new podcast called Clarence Street Stories, which is because our office is here in Clarence Street in Dunleary, and I have a lot of business people in networks that I'm in, and so I'm inviting them to come in and talk to me. We've set up a pop-up studio with sound walls and things here in Dunleary, and it's just an opportunity, A, to show people how easy it is to make radio. I love radio from that point of view. It's a microphone and two people, or even one person sometimes, with some sound effects, some music, and off you go in a quiet room, and it's just wonderful. I've always loved radio. And then for television, we make television documentaries, and we also do commercial video. So we actually have a TV documentary going out on the 19th of November.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Now, it's a very late slot. We don't mind, though. It's the Simon Cumbers Media Fund.
Documentary.
Yeah, it's called The Green Fields of Vietnam on the 19th of November, going out at 1:45 on RTE1. So I'm tempted to invite a crowd of friends over and say, at least people watching it. But that's a lovely one we made last year, where we went out to Vietnam and followed a group of Irish American musicians who went to the different parts of Vietnam where there's a lot of disabled children as a result of the war, and Agent Orange, which is that chemical that was sprayed all over Vietnam, North Vietnam, by the Americans. And it was really difficult. And I mean, we went back to the demilitarized zone, and we watched people taking out, there's still a lot of unexploded ordnance, they call it, basically pieces of bombs and things.
Oh my gosh.
It was carpet bombs.
Really
fascinating, yeah. So we love making that, and so we have one or two other documentary ideas in the can at the moment, so to speak. And then finally, training, which is a very big part of what we do. We do training in media interview skills, preparing for a radio or television interview, a bit like this radio interview.
Okay.
And then we do, which has been a growing one that I've built up over the last 2 years, what we call smartphone storytelling. As you know, smartphones really are just amazing now. What you can do with them, the cameras, the microphones, everything.
Yeah.
So we're training people on a one-day workshop called Smartphone Storytelling, where we show you all the basics of recording a little story, how you plan it in a storyboard. Then people actually record something, and they record themselves, or they do a little story with cutaway shots. Then we show them how to edit it on the phone and how to upload social media. And then also in the afternoon, then we show them the great power of the YouTube editor, which is a free YouTube editor in YouTube at the back, so to speak. And there's a lot of things you can do there, like add graphics and transitions and music, and it's fantastic. So it's ideal for small businesses who don't really want to be making big videos that go out of date in a few months, right?
They really want
short videos. Charities, NGOs, small companies, retailers, anybody with a story to tell, we show them how to tell that story on the smartphones. And very practical course, we show them some tips on the gadgets to use to have steady shots. We have a microphone you can attach to your phone. And then, tips on how to use light the best way and all. Yeah, so it's a very practical hands-on course. Yeah, and only eight places per course. And big plug, next one is Friday, the 5th of December, here in our offices in Clarence Street in Dunleary, which is just near the West Pier.
Sorry, so that the next one you have is the 6th of December?
The next one is Friday, the 5th of December. Yeah,
sorry, Friday,
day.
The 5th of December.
Yeah, 5th, yeah. So if people look at my website, you'll see the details there.
Okay, great. I have to say, I'd be interested in that myself because I train people in storytelling as well. I think it's a great way. And it's coming into its own now.
It really is, as opposed to just getting up
and doing a presentation, which I also train people in, which is also very effective.
Okay.
But the whole storytelling, I've worked with the Social Entrepreneurs of Ireland training their nominees for their awards that are coming coming up in the next couple of weeks around storytelling. But I think what's really interesting what you're doing, Aileen, which is great, is not just showing people that, but it's also technical parts. I am not technical. I am one of those people with those three children. How do I do this? How do I get this up on YouTube? What do I do to tweak this?
That's true.
So the fact that you're doing it is great.
Yes. I use the analogy of driving a car. Do you drive a car, Laura?
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you got into that car?
I know exactly where you're at.
Remember the first time you sat there with the probably with a driver beside you or someone in your family helping you, and you were just absolutely thinking, "This is going to go out of control or whatever." You know, it's not as bad with a smartphone. I mean, you're not going to kill anybody if it's out of control. But at the same time, I give that analogy of you really have to actually do it to show to overcome that that fear and that I can't do this. And once people actually start, then it's great. They realise, oh my God, this isn't so difficult.
It's not that difficult.
There's some great apps to use. Yeah, the apps are terrific now, how they show you how to trim your video right on the phone and how to, add music and that. It's fantastic what the apps can do now. Really.
Well, maybe we can pick that up when we come back after break. After the song break. What I will do is if I can ask you, Aileen, to give out your contact details, and then I'll give out the contact details of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if people want to contact me, they can email me at info@aileenomara.ie. That's AileenOmara.ie. info@aileenomara.ie. Or they can phone me here at the office at 01-517-5311. 517-5311.
That's fantastic, Aileen. What we'll do is I'm going to give out the contact details of the show, and then we'll go to a quick song break then, and then I'll take up with you then after that.
Okay.
The email address for the learning show is thelearningshow@dublincityfm.ie, all lowercase. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/thelearningshow, all lowercase. And the Twitter handle is @thelearningshow, and that's capital TL and S. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick song break with George Ezra singing Budapest. Welcome back to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. That was George Ezra singing Budapest. My guest this afternoon is Aileen O'Mara of Aileen O'Mara Media. And before we went to break, Aileen was giving me some information about smartphone storytelling. So Aileen, maybe we pick up on that and tell me, how do people tell their story?
Well, as you know, as a journalist, you learn the basics when you're telling any story is the who, why, when, what, where rule. And I always think it's a good one for anything, you know what I mean? If you can answer, these questions, then you've got your story. So I always say to people, who are you? Or, who's your business? What's your business? And secondly, why? I mean, why is your business in business? What are you doing? When did you start, or this event you're telling me about, when is it on? What are you going to be doing at this event, or what are you telling us about? What's the key thing you want to tell us? Where is it going to be on? So a story about an event you're going to be holding, I'd always say to people, who, why, when, what, where. And in terms of telling a little story on a smartphone, I always say to people, we do what we call a storyboard. People think, oh, that's highly technical. Well, it's not actually. You take an A4 sheet of paper, and we make a four box grid. And I say to them, scene one, scene two, scene three, scene four. So what's scene one? I mean, people want to. If you're telling a story, say you've got. I mean, just off the top of my head now, I'm trying to think of. Well, Guide My Last Course. Works with property companies. He's actually a website guy, but he had a property company who do what he called staging a house before you sell it.
Yeah.
Which is basically, staging is a fancy word for preparing, getting it ready.
Making it look nice.
Making it look nice, the smell of coffee, the fresh flowers, the flowers at the door.
And the fire burning.
Exactly, the fire in the fireplace. So I said to him, tell the story. I mean, how would you tell the story of the staging of this house? So I said, where do you start? What's the first thing you see? The door, front door. So you start with the wide shot of the open of the house. Then you have somebody walking in. Next thing, as I say, you're in the sitting room with the fireplace with the fire lighting. Then you're in the kitchen. Then you're walking up the stairs. Then you're showing upstairs. You've got your key features, and then you come down. There's your story. Now that's about six shots. So I get people to think visually about a story.
Yeah.
Where do you fit in the story? If you were in the story, where do you belong? What's going on behind you when you're talking? So that's about a story for a smartphone. You always have to think visually for a smartphone. But the internet now, if you're doing anything in terms of marketing your own story or telling your own story on the internet, you should always be thinking visually. I was at an event a few weeks ago, on a radio radio conference, where a guy from the BBC Northern Ireland, who runs all the big radio programmes in BBC Northern Ireland, every journalist now in BBC Northern Ireland has to get 2, if not 3 photographs on their phone when they're sent out on a radio story, because that photograph will be used on Twitter, it'll be used in a blog, it'll be put up on the internet. And in fact, with photographs, you can actually make a YouTube video with photographs.
All right,
you
just have
a
music
little bit
or
of audio running under it, and you can do transitions and stuff. So, you know, all the big tip I'll say to people for making stories now is, one, think visually.
Yes.
Anybody I'm writing blogs for, because that's the other thing we do now as well, we tell stories for people on the internet for content creation, content marketing, is be always thinking of taking a photograph. And one of my clients is going to Pakistan next week to source fireplaces. He sells fireplaces. And I said to him, don't forget to take photographs. And he looks at me blankly. What do you mean? And I
said, interesting to see how he sources them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see where you get them from, all that story. You know what I mean?
It's also the background information.
Looking at me blankly. Yeah, exactly. Because all that's part of the story. And then obviously you need to bring yourself into the story as well. So what's your backstory, so to speak? Why did you get into the business you're in? What's your passion? How did you get there? You know what I mean? Very much people want to hear that as well. You don't have to give everything away. You don't have to be completely, you know, telling everything about what age your children are and stuff. But, you know, I think you need to say how you got to where you are today, because that helps stand out from the crowd in terms of telling your story to that makes you different to others.
Yeah, it's a differentiator. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and I love that we talk about the passion, because most people who are working for themselves are passionate about what they do. And it's something that when I'm training presentation skills, and it's slightly different to smartphone storytelling, but it's, I always say, you need to have passion. It doesn't matter what you're presenting, you have to have passion, because that's how you're going to be able to influence and sell your message much more effectively. So I can understand, and it's a lovely story about the background going off to look for the fireplace. It's very interesting. So then tell me about your, because you're in business now 10 years, it sounds amazing what you're doing. You've got lots of different things going on in your company. So tell me about, give me some tips then, please, if you're okay sharing those, of how you started out and how you overcame challenges, etc.
Sure. I mean, if I was starting out now again, everybody says I wouldn't start out from here, as they say.
Hindsight.
Well, I would actually, but a plan is, you know what I mean, is to think about what is it you want to do. And just writing something down is, as you know yourself from doing your training, is you get people to write things down, it actually focuses, it forces you to take it out of your head and almost out of your heart and put it down on paper and say, okay, what is it you're doing and what is it you want to do, you know, and why do you want to do it, you know? And that's the thing about goal setting, you know what I mean, as well. People say, oh yeah, goal setting. Why, you know, what do you want to do? And, you know, I do this, I do a goal setting thing on New Year's Eve. You know the way people say on New Year's Eve and they kind of say, what am I going to do? And, I mean, you know, usually I'm at home on New Year's Eve. You've had a few days off, you know, you've had the Christmas dinner, you might be away, but, you know, I mean, you've taken a few days away from the normal routine. It's a great time to think about your goals are, okay? Yeah. And if somebody's starting out now, this is a good time to just write them down somewhere, keep them where you would normally keep stuff that you don't want to lose, whether it's in your, you know, maybe it's in your phone, maybe it's on, you know, your cloud, you know, or your own storage. But always have somewhere you can say, okay, go back there and look at that. And then 6 months time, you're thinking, what am I doing? And you go back and look at those goals and remind you what it is you said you're going to do. Because there's great clarity around that of saying, oh yeah, I want to have a job that's, or I want to have a company that's, you know, I enjoy doing what I'm doing, that uses my skills and my potential, that helps me, you know, have a work-life balance where I can be flexible around my children, for example, and that isn't too far away from my work.
Yeah,
or my home, so I don't have to be commuting.
And one thing I do myself now, goal setting, just because I work a lot in that space with organisations, is I actually have mine printed and I update it and I have it up on my office wall in front,
so
I can
really
able to glance. It just keeps me focused. But it's interesting now, I also recorded in a book, just a hard book, hardback book that I have a number of years. I actually flicked back, just took my goal setting, I flicked back there recently just to see what I'd put down 2 years ago, and one of the goals I had was to have my own radio show, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you can understand the value of that.
And that's the first thing you did was you actually wrote it down somewhere, because it doesn't make it real, but it starts the process of making it real, which is great.
Very good, so your next tip then.
Networks, join networks. I think take advice and join networks, talk to lots of people. find out how they did it. I mean, a friend of mine now is going in and setting up a PR business. I knew her years ago and she was a journalist, and then she's the same thing. Five kids, is now getting back into it. Worked in some PR, worked in a part-time PR company for a while, didn't work out, now wants to go out on her own. And she rang me up and I said, that's what I say to you, is join networks. I mean, networks are very important because you meet other people, so you do business with people,
yeah.
And they tell you how they're doing business. And if you're working, particularly if you're starting out in business, often you can be working in an attic office, or you can be working, you know, at the kitchen table, which isn't really recommended, but anyway, particularly during midterm. But
you can relate to that.
Women are good multi-skillers, so women are good multi-skillers. And but also getting out and saying, oh yeah, I'm in the Dunleary Enterprise Women's Network, which is brilliant. It's run by a woman and you meet other women. And you know what? You think, oh my God, I made that mistake, or I can't find out about that. You will find someone at that network meeting when you go once a month, and somebody will be able to give you an answer for something.
And that's great from a support point of view as well.
It's great support from that point of view as well, exactly. And even just the social aspect of it is very good too, you know. So there's loads of business networks being set up now, and a lot of them are free to join, and just go along and you just, you know. It also helps you prepare what I call the elevator pitch, which, you know, it's a cliche, but it's important.
Yeah.
So, Aileen, what's your business? What do you do? And it makes you focus on what exactly it is you're doing. Because if you can't do that, then you're a bit vague about what you really are trying to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and very hard for somebody else to be able to pick up on that. If you don't have clarity in what you actually do, very hard for them to go away and go, what's that person doing?
Exactly.
They discount it or dismiss you.
That's
I don't mean that in a bad way, but nothing stood
out for
them.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, you have to be very clear. And also, I love the, you know, one tip I picked up, because I did a Set Up Your Own Business course. They said about, you know, what is the problem that other businesses have that you can provide solutions for?
Exactly, because I actually train people on that, and that's exactly what I say. It's the result you give, not that you're 12 years in business and in your office is located off Grafton Street. Is what problem can you solve for your customers? What
that's
benefit
right.
do you bring? It's result, and that's what sells it. Yeah, very good, very good.
Yeah. Okay. So I think don't be afraid to fail and get it wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jump in there.
Yeah.
Try it. You know, it's important to try something and not be afraid to dip your toe into the water, because you know what I mean. And I find if you can come up with that, and it's usually about 150, 200 euros, whatever, to join a Set Up Your Own Business course. You can bring along what you want to do there, and then people will tell you at that course whether it's going to work or not, because they're experts, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll say, now, you know, well, do you think that's got, you know, I mean, maybe that business is crowded already or whatever, or why is it that you particularly want to do it that way? You know what I mean? And I think don't be afraid to say, oh, well, I think that's wrong, or maybe I shouldn't go down that path. Maybe I should move it over slightly this way. You know what I mean? And don't be afraid to actually, you know, that didn't work and just move on.
And yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Americans are great at that, I think. The Americans are brilliant at that. But the Irish, I think, kind of put you down a little bit still if you get something wrong, you know. So I think just move on if you do make a mistake.
Yeah.
I suppose the other thing is, you know, it is follow your dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
follow what it is
you
know in your heart that you want to be. I mean, again, another woman I met at a recent networking event, and she set up a gardening business of doing gardening design and also, you know, but particularly around domestic gardens, right?
Yeah.
She had worked in a totally different area. And I said to her, I said, Joan, what do you do this for? You know what I mean? She said, I have always wanted to do it, and I'm just going to do it. And she then had, I mean, the great story here is that she went and put that together. She put in an application to the Bloom Garden Festival.
Oh, yes,
and she got money from Bord na Mona, and she got a silver medal.
That's a fantastic story.
It's such a great story.
Yes.
I mean, and there's your story. You know what I mean? Talk about stories.
Yeah.
There's your story. And I said, Joan, there's your story. It's fantastic. So she was moving the garden and moving it to a school near here. And I said to her, I'll come up on my phone and I'll record you bringing the garden in. How about that? And we made a little video. It was great. And she nearly died, and I turned over the camera and I said, look, this is the story. Garden is moving into the, you know, after Bloom Garden, you've put the garden together and then you're supposed to take it away. Now, I mean, a lot of gardens just get dumped, but like, here was this beautiful garden with gorgeous flowers, agapanthus and hydrangeas and everything. Oh my God. I said, what are you going to do with that? And she said, I'm putting it in the school. And I said, that's fantastic. Can I come up and record you putting it in the school? We just made a 3-minute video. It's lovely.
Okay. Maybe you can just give me your last two tips, because I've just before
one,
we finish up. Yeah.
There will be tough days, you know, take a deep breath, go through the tough days, you know, days when the cash flow isn't working, somebody hasn't paid you, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through that. Just remember that's there, you know. And finally, take time off.
No, I think that's so
very
important.
Very hard to do.
Yep,
very
so important.
Very hard to do.
Yep.
Because it's you, it's your beginning, middle, end, you know what I mean? If you're not there, it doesn't get done. But you know what? If you don't take that time off, and I mean, you know, go for a walk for 15 minutes, go out for a coffee, leave the office for an hour, and just stop, you know, and don't bring, well, I'm the worst person in the world for this, bringing the laptop home, working from home, try and not work from home when you can. In the switch off point, close the door and leave it and go and do something else.
Yeah.
So I think once you do that, you know, that's important as well. Yeah,
okay. Aileen, thank you very much for all that very valuable information. We have to wrap up
welcome.
Now. Maybe you might be able to come back in another time, but thank you very much for contributing today. I really appreciate it. The email address for The Learning Show is learningshow@dublincityfm.ie, Facebook/The Learning Show, and Twitter handle @The Learning Show. So tune in next week to learn more tips and techniques to improve your working and personal lives. I'm Laura Fitzsimons, and thank you for listening to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM.